Blog Talk Radio. Sir, radar just picked up something.
Where away?
At the head of the arroyo.
Moving?
This way, sir, slowly.
Automatic control. Battery. Fire. Nothing. Battery. Fire. Battery. Fire. Phantom.
Dead on target, sir.
Good. Give me audio call.
Aye, aye, sir.
Now, attention. May have been a ruse to divert us from some other part of the perimeter. You men will continue watching on your own immediate front. That is all. What?
It just stopped at the foot of the pass.
Are you sure you've got a real blip there?
Big as a house, sir, and we were dead on target with both bursts. It's coming on again.
Straight across?
It shows here. It's still coming!
Great, strong. Set up a crossfire on those rocks.
Thank you. am leaving soon. And you will forgive me if I speak bluntly. The universe grows smaller every day. And the threat of aggression by any group, anywhere, can no longer be tolerated. There must be security for all, or no one is secure. Now, this does not mean giving up any freedom, except the freedom to act irresponsibly. Your ancestors knew this when they made laws to govern themselves and hired policemen to enforce them. We of the other planets have long accepted this principle. We have an organization for the mutual protection of all planets and for the complete elimination of aggression. The test of any such higher authority is, of course, the police force that supports it. For our policemen, we created a race of robots. Their function is to patrol the planets in spaceships like this one and preserve the peace. In matters of aggression, we have given them absolute power over us. This power cannot be revoked. At the first sign of violence, they act automatically against the aggressor. The penalty for provoking their action is too terrible to risk. The result is, we live in peace, without arms or armies, secure in the knowledge that we are free from aggression and war, free to pursue more profitable enterprises. Now, we do not pretend to have achieved perfection, but we do have a system, and it works. I came here to give you these facts. It is no concern of ours how you run your own planet. But if you threaten to extend your violence, this earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder. Your choice is simple. Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration. We shall be waiting for your answer. The decision rests with you.
Thank you. open base.
Fire read after all the green with which to survive.
There goes our salvage, guys.
She's sent to Gateway Station in hospital for weeks.
Side effect of such an unusually long hypersleep.
The company man, Bert, confirms all her fears.
You were out there for 57 years.
When she feels better, she has to go to court about blowing up the Nostromo and the aliens she fought. In space, no one can hear you scream. At least that was the case with Ripley's last scene. No one believes her, now Ripley is shocked.
Because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
When they condescended, Ripley lets the temper fly.
You can just kiss all that goodbye.
Van Leeuwen finds her guilty and confines her to a station for 6 months probation and a psych evaluation. Now the alien planet is occupied, apparently, a mining colony with
maybe 70 families.
A few months later and the company's in a fix.
We lost contact with LV-426.
Why, this could be, the company's none the wiser.
I would like you there as an advisor.
Ripley says no, comes as no shock though when she decides to go on the ship's lock home. Although she's new, she joins the crew and they all wake up in their cryo-chew. Hypersleep don't appeal, but it's part of the deal.
You look just like I feel.
A pulse more effective than any alarm.
Day in the Marine Corps, like a day on the farm. They want me to adventure for this for you.
Hudson replies.
Thank you, sir. I like that.
Look into my eyes.
Pascal does more push-ups than anyone can.
Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
They all get ready and go to have lunch.
The lieutenant's too good to eat with the rest of his crunch.
Bishop does his knife trick as fast as he can. Hudson says,
oh, I'm fine, man.
The robot Bishop offers Ripley a plate.
Stay away from me, Bishop. You got that straight?
Now they're on a bug hunt. There's no doubt about it.
I don't like it out of this chicken shit out there.
Vasquez makes light of the death of Ripley's crew.
I hope you're right. I really do.
By 6 a.m. he wants the preparations done and clear.
Assholes and elbows.
There's an empty power loader and Ripley gets on it. To show off in front of Hicks, she says,
where you want it?
They pose with the smart guns, the mission's way easy. They pour through the door and board the APC. Inside the dropship, the armor car parks. The Pharaoh's about to blast off.
On my mark.
Not much to frown, Hudson's acting a clown.
Spread the elevator to hell. Going down.
The dropship dies, Rebel keeps them alive.
We're in the fight. Bye, bye, bye.
They get there quick to LV-426. They pulls there.
Somebody wake up here.
The dropship lands. The APC is manned. They jump out as planned and the landscape is scanned. They inspect the first deck. The checks are received. As they expect, the complex is deserted. Rain from above comes down in a flood. Holes burned by the aliens.
That's it from blood.
Contained in meds that are parasites to see.
Looks like love at first sight to me.
An alert is heard on the motion tracker. But it's a little girl. And we'll go and catch her. She dies down the chute. But Ripley's in pursuit. After a brief dispute, she becomes a new recruit. The girl is but appears to be mute. They get to the roof. They scan for the colonists, data information. They find them at the atmosphere processing station. A bomb brings at the rear. They have no fear. They pack up the gear. The colonists are here.
What is it,
Hudson? The image ain't clear.
You tell me, man. I only work here.
Ripley spots an immediate danger.
They're right under the primary heat exchanger.
Look, we can't have any firing in there.
He's fucking crazy.
They don't think it's fair. That's when they find the colonist cocooned in the wall.
Get over here with that live one!
They hear Dietrich call. Blood sprays through a vest and a baby alien burst through a chest. They wipe out the alien with a torrent of flame. They got themselves to blame. The tracker goes insane.
Maybe they don't show up on infrared at all.
But Dietrich at the wall is the first to fall. With Dietrich lost, next goes lost. Ammunition goes off at a terrible cost. It's all gone wrong.
Right,
people,
what is going on?
But this is the end of the sergeant's career.
Sergeant's gone! Get the fuck out of here!
They've taken a knock, they're all in shock, but the scouts are last as a blast.
Let's run!
A rescue is something no one might allow.
Get them out of there! Do it now!
Ripley takes charge after strapping all the crew in.
Ripley, what the hell are you doing?
She flies through the site to clean up this mess, then crashes through the wall at the alien nest. There's no time for grieving, those that aren't breathing. As they bring up the rear, Vasquez makes a mistake. And a flood of acid blood gets the face of poor Drake. They try to close the door, they hear a deep hiss. Hicks grabs his shotgun and shouts,
"Eat this!"
Then Ripley speeds away, escaping the monster. The box falls where it's stored, knocking Gorman unconscious. An alien drops from the top, but it's not from the ride. Allows to crash past through the brass doors outside. Hicks gets it to stop by saying, "Look down!" They patch themselves up and throw some ideas around. Ripley isn't daunted, she gets things sorted.
We take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
The dropship's on its way, a bit overshawed. The Pharaoh doesn't know about the alien on board. With the pilot gone, the ship slides with some boulders. Ripley turns to laugh from Ripley and the soldiers. The APC and dropship go supernova.
Game over, man. Game over.
They decide to go inside, listening to new closely.
They must become nice.
After the Marines' annihilation, they head back to operations to fortify the station from a radiant invasion. Stockpiling the weapons and collecting all the rations. Ripley checks the company log to find out how it happened. It was Bert being a jerk that made the situation fall.
You sent them out there and you didn't even warn them.
Bishop calls a meeting with everyone attending.
That's it.
Emergency vending.
The cooling towers ruptured during the battle early on. The place was going to explode and they didn't have long. Someone's got to go to the uplink tower to remote pilot the dropship within the next hour. Bishop volunteered but no one else in the group did.
I may be synthetic, but I'm not stupid.
So they open up a tunnel, Bishop gets inside, but it'll take a while to get there because it isn't very wide. Then Ripley goes for a nap with Newt on the floor, but when she wakes up she has a shock in store. Somebody came in and set the facehuggers free, then locked the lab door so Ripley can't flee. Ripley waves to the camera hoping they will be seen, but Burke slowly turns off the monitor screen. The gun's in the other room now, but they just can't make it.
Break the glass!
The windows won't break, but Ripley uses the head and sets off the fire alarm instead. That's when a facehugger hops from up on the top. She throws it away, but it cannot be stopped. Newt starts screaming up and Hicks will find her. He doesn't know it's a facehugger behind her. That's when the Marines arrive and Hicks jumps through the glass. Hudson pushes Newt aside, shooting a facehugger fast. The rest of them gather around to try and save Ripley. They pull the parasol off her and they take it out quickly. She throws the door because her throat is still hurt. To get back to operation to start giving Burke hell, Hudson said,
"This dog needs hell."
Alright, we waste him.
The mood has gone sour, the lights go out, Ripley said.
"We got the power."
The motion tracker goes off, there's movement in the hall, so they see that the doors are back against the wall.
Inside the room.
So Hicks gets in the ceiling and illuminates the gloom. The aliens drop down, the situation's dire. Burke makes his escape while the Marines are on fire. He blocks the barricade as the banging on the door comes face to face with another xenomorph. The Marines are outnumbered, Hudson setting in the score. When they come from underneath him and they pull him through the floor. But scares runs the door, doesn't look like it'll last. With the exit still behind him, it looks like they're stuck, but they're in luck. Luke leads them down the air duct. Hicks asks Bishop, how long until he's finished?
ETA, 16 minutes.
I'll scare Bishop to rear as the aliens attack. But after from an alien, puts him on the back. Gorma goes to help her, but then comes the unexpected. An alien bursts up and blocks the only exit. They get out some grenades and finish the job for them.
You always were an asshole, Gorman.
The other three escape, Luke's hit by a blast. He slips through Rippy's grasp on the ventilator shaft. They're spurred on now by the tracker alert, but when they get to the lift, Hicks gets hurt. They have to take off his armor as that's it, disintegrated. Ripley has to carry in, doesn't look like he will make it. Ripley gets into the dropship, puts Bishop on the spot. She wants to rescue Newt.
We're not leaving!
We're not?
She loads up all the guns and prepares to save her with the person who located the hit she gave her. She goes to sub-level 3 despite Bishop's insistence.
15 minutes to reach minimum safe distance.
She'll follow Newt's signal until she is found, but that's when she finds the wristband on the ground. Newt starts screaming. Luckily, Ripley hears her and blasts the face hugger before it gets nearer. She picks up Newt gently without being seen, but then accidentally backs into the Queen. The Queen sees that Ripley is after the teeth, so she calls off the guards and lets Ripley retreat. She's just about out without the aliens harassing, but then an egg opens and Ripley starts blasting. Ripley goes mental, and who can blame her? She shoots everything inside, destroying the egg chamber. After wasting all the ammo, which would be handy later, she escapes with Luke to the nearest elevator. But the launch pad is empty of dropship and crew. The lift opens up, the Queen's managed to find her, the Bishop dropship appears behind her. They jump on the ramp, and are chased by the Queen. The ship's caught in debris, but then it breaks free. They fly off into complex, melt up below them, and the dropship is dropped by a nuclear explosion. They get back safe. Bishop did great. The artificial person is finally her mate. But they failed! Bishop's impaled right up to the hill, ripped in half, drew in blood like a fountain of milk.
Here!
Says Ripley and runs to the door to distract the Queen while Newt hides in the floor. The Queen gets frustrated, the three escaping, without hesitating, starts ripping up the grating. But before much waiting, Ripley comes straight in, all with a power over and a class 2 rating. Newt's trapped in a ditch, screaming high pitch.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Ripley's out rock and cleans the Queen's dock, who gets knocked across the dock over through the airlock. But without a pause, the Queen grabs her with a claw. And they fall with force on the loading bay doors. Ripley's first up and quickly climbs the ladder. The Queen's pinned down but still manages to grab her. But Ripley isn't done. She activates the control and sucks the green alien right out of the hole. She flies into space and now she's been disposed. Ripley pushes the button to make sure the door's closed. Although Bishop's torn in half, he's still friendly to them.
Not bad for a human.
They get in their cryo tubes after defeating the Queen. Newt is finally safe.
Can I dream?
They go to hypersleep and head home with speed. But the survivor's future would be dark indeed. But mysteriously, some eggs have ended up on board. Facehuggers make their way to where the cryo tubes are stored. An electrical fire is started by acid, and the pods are rejected because the damage is massive. Luke drowns in the tube because they crash in the sea, and Hicks dies on impact, impaled by a beam. Bishop is smashed beyond repair, and Ripley is forced to shave off her hair. But worst of all, it turns out the bitch is back. The planet's prisoner population is promptly attacked. They have no weapons. Ripley has to use her hair to burn the alien in hot lead instead. The company comes looking, but before they can find her, Ripley kills herself. She had an alien inside her. And if you thought this story went in a funny direction, wait until you see Alien Resurrection.
Game over, man!
machines have gathered an army, and as I speak, that army is drawing nearer to our home. Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here before you now, truthfully, unafraid. Why? Because I believe something you do not? No. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. I remember that for 100 years they have set their armies to destroy us. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us shake this cave. Tonight, let us tremble these halls of earth, steel, and stone. Let us be heard from red bar to black sky. Tonight, let us make them remember. This is Zion, and we are not afraid.
unless something is done and done quickly, man as the dominant species of life on Earth will be extinct within a year.
On your full cooperation with the military authorities.
Yes, cities, nations, even civilization itself, threatened with annihilation because in one moment of history-making violence, nature, mad, rampant, wrought its most awesome creation. But born in that swirling inferno of radioactive dust were things so horrible, so terrifying, so hideous. There is no word to describe them.
We may be witnesses to a biblical prophecy come true, and there shall be destruction and darkness come up in creation, and the beast shall reign over the earth.
Yes, the earth, the skies above and the seas below, infested by swarms of nightmare creatures, crueler, deadlier than the armored giants of prehistoric eras. Here is a wild, headlong flight into terror, as the desert erupts with the grim battle for survival. Here is a fear-frenzied moment of suspense, as mankind totters before a thing that multiplies faster than it can be killed. Here is a desperate plunge into the black depths of the earth, where human courage challenges the brute force, the slashing jaws, the poison fangs that guard the subterranean nest where the beast spawns its terrible progeny.
To all units, condition red. Drain 267 is the target area. Repeat, condition red. Drain 267 is the target area.
Is there any type of gas we can use?
No, we can't take a chance. It might poison the whole city.
Thank you. desert road from Vegas to nowhere. Someplace better than where you've been. A coffee machine that needs some fixing. In a little cafe just around the bend.
For Halloween, I guess. Welcome, as we're doing another Music Therapy Mind Stream. I'm your host, Michael Lewis, singer, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Set your radio's Music Therapy Mind Stream proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and that's the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Shout out to my compadre, DJ Gray. Recently in the house tonight. What up, G?
Man, there's too many things going on, man. I got to unplug.
Yep, I hear you. And that's what I was trying to do, too. In that mix, which is actually one of my favorites, you know, you heard the little promo for them, the movie, And that was the first movie I remember seeing when I was 4 years old. Scared the shit out of me. Big ass ants. Big ass ants coming out here trying to eat my ass up and stuff. You know? And, well, it's cool because it was the first sci-fi flick to have a $1 million budget. And I'm sure they spent a considerable amount on the ants, which wasn't bad, you know. Although they always crack up at that one ant that's like sneaking up to get James Whitmore's ass. He said, yeah, you're going to get, I'm getting some, I'm going to get me some get back. And he gets them and seems to make the same sound. Ow! You know, and they get him.
Yeah.
I love stuff
the
like that.
That scared me the best was Body Snatchers. That didn't scare me the best.
Oh, yeah. 1956. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Yep, that definitely was. That was more about communism and whatever in the morals that they were trying to push through. And the movie Invaders from Mars, which we did some of the music from, it's the only movie where the background was vocal. A bunch of people were chanting and doing other things like that to create an atmosphere for the movie, and it almost reminded me of 1984's The Dune, where they were practicing extending the weirding way with the shah, and all of this good shit just brings me back to, I love the creative process, but I love sci-fi, and I was one of those kids sitting up watching the monster movies and stuff like that, and, you know, in some cases rooting for the monsters. So I was a warped child, I confess. But I know even during the week they had the big show on Channel 7 in New York City. I know it was 10 where you were in that area. But they would show you these grade Z movies and stuff like that.
Yes.
And they had to be short because it was formatted for an hour and a half, including commercials. So by the time 6 o'clock came on, it was time for Eyewitness News, but, you know, the peanut butter jelly sandwich from Cleveland had already eaten up. It was all good, but we loved that. So, you know, October, expect more sci-fi love. But, Gary, tell me what you got lined up as the COVID is soon to return.
We got the Disabled Jam Fest. Yeah.
All right.
We're gonna do
Ray Jones and V Wonder and Curtis Mayfield and Ryan Wood, Mississippi, Alabama, mm-hmm.
and
Mississippi,
the grass.
All right. That's gonna be hot. I am genuinely looking forward to this, and I'll be even more interested in how you're going to program it, because it's going to be fun. I can tell that. But, yes, the able disabled will throw down, and they will jam as we keep it moving, because that's all part of our culture. And we don't let any of that stuff get in the way of the true message. So let's quote our brother, the Mystery Man. This is classic R&B in between all of this that you're listening to. And we just get a chance to go mad scientist and make something more of it than it is. If you like it, then we've done our job. But having said that, G, any last words before I go back to work?
Okay, now y'all know what to do. Y'all want to wear a mask. Y'all got to wash your hands. And Michael, you can do the rest.
Well, y'all know. Y'all been around us long enough. Wash your ass, damn it. I don't want no funky ass around me. Even on the radio, the airwaves, that funk comes seeping through. And that's not P-funk. I'm talking about ass funk. Wash your ass. Stop all that nonsense. You know, I'm still hot and sweaty out here. So please, hygiene, y'all. And yes, if you have to wear a mask, please comply. And don't let the funk fly. So having said all of that, Brother G will be back next week. and we are looking forward to the disabled concert and subsequent jam session. For all of us here at the Tree, we really appreciate the fact that you guys really dig the music stuff, so we are endeavoring to come up with more formats, not that we really need an excuse. We both enjoyed it, and we appreciate your support. And we're going to ask for more of it later, but for right now, sit back and listen. Right now, it's time to check.
A chair is still a chair, even when there's no one sitting there. But a chair is not a house, and a house is not a home when there's no one there to hold you tight, and no one there you can kiss goodnight. A room is still a room, even when there's nothing there but gloom.
Thank you. have proven in many ways that with you is where I want to be. Haven't I shown you every day just how much you mean to me? But you keep on leading me. Just what you wanted. Haven't I been there whenever you call? Haven't I tried to please you, baby? Haven't I given you my all in all? I ask myself every day, we
I felt that you could I knew we met each other this morning for a reason.
Thinking, talking, we've worked out our problems. Look like we should have better days in front. Just because we took our time to think and talk. For a much better understanding.
About you. not the way you carry on. I know I'm crazy, can't stop loving you. I know I shouldn't be.
You're always lying to me, sugar.
My thoughts are.
Together, lovers.
seems against you.
Good morning, heartache. What's new? Stop
good morning, heartache. I see you're back in town. Good morning, heartache. Why don't you sit on down?
And that's the
I blame it on the wind that blaming on the tide. Never was enough. I'll blame it on the tide. But my heart blames it on me.
Thank you.
Well, we'll be waiting for that Sunday, too. You know, likely that it will be Tuesday, 8 p.m., as we pour another iced blueberry tea. On behalf of everybody here at the tree, myself, Gary, and everybody else on assignment, everybody go safe, stay safe, be safe. We want you to get from A to B and back to A. Okay. Good night.